We're back.
Yes, we are back. Now, in the interest of transparency, we should say we did try to do a podcast from Blenheim.
We did do a podcast from Blenheim.
Yeah, yeah. But unfortunately, we did it as we were walking through the lorry park, yes, next to the stables. And fabulous as it was, unfortunately, it was too windy. When we got back to the... when you were editing it together, you realised you basically couldn't hear anything at all. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so apologies for that. We are back in the office. We have both obviously worked very hard at the Europeans and then both had some time off. What did you do with your time off, Rachel?
I had my car serviced.
You had your car serviced. I tiled my kitchen. Rock and roll, everyone. My kitchen was tiled. I managed to watch as many YouTube videos as I could about how to tile around a plug. And it's all still up. So I'm sure everyone's very happy to hear that. Okay. And so, yes, we were very lucky to go to Blenheim last weekend.
The weekend just gone. Yes. It's a long time.
No. So we're here on Monday morning now in the office. We were at Blenheim on Friday. In fact, you were at Blenheim Friday, Saturday.
Yes. Can't keep me away.
Cannot keep you away from there. And it was gorgeous. Blenheim was gorgeous on Friday. And I'm guessing on Saturday as well, really nice weather.
Yeah, Saturday was glorious sunshine.
Yeah. So now, obviously, when we were recording on Friday, we had no idea what was going to happen. And so we were basically obviously speculating because we had no idea it was the Friday. We actually do know what happened in Blenheim now, so tell us what happened at Blenheim.
So Piggy French continued her fantastic year with a win in the 4-star long, and then Australia's Christopher Burton won in the 8 and 9 year olds class, which is a 4-star short.
Wow, so another win for Piggy French. Goodness me, what a year. What a year she's been having. Just phenomenal. It's great performance at the Europeans and, of course, at badminton and getting married. Everything's going well for Piggy this year.
She was also third in the same class as well.
I'm still having my coffee in the morning, as you can tell. Right, so on to our interviews today. And we've got two to share with you. Now, obviously, when we were away at the Europeans, vast majority of the time we were talking to riders, rightly, because it was a championships. But we, as you will know, we want to talk about the teams and the various members of the team. And a big member of the team, even though perhaps some people don't always readily associate them as team members, are the owners. And we really want to shout about how big a member of our team our owners are, of our horses. Obviously, the horses are the other athlete in the ring. And you caught up with one of our owners at Blenheim.
I did. A rather famous one, actually, is it? As it happens, yes, hot off the carpet of the Downton Abbey premiere, I caught up with Michael Fox, who was there with SRS Can Do, who was ridden by Kylie Roddy.
Now, you told me before you went to speak to Michael about, he's got a very, very interesting history here, hasn't he, as far as, because he used to be a rider himself.
He did, yes, so he evented in his teens, and then it kind of got to a point where acting came along and got in the way of the horses. So he had this horse and passed it on to Kylie to ride for him.
Right, and so you caught up with him just after they'd had the dressage test on the Friday, is that right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, here it is.
So, Michael, explain to me a little bit about how you've ended up here at Blenheim today.
Well, it's been a long sort of way around. We always came to Blenheim. I always pretended I was riding around Blenheim when I was riding my horse back at home. It's one of the nice ones because it's so local to us and it's a great event and it's slightly smaller than the big ones and you feel like you can get a little bit closer to the riders and the horses. And then we just got this boy, George, who we got from Ireland, and he's turned out to be a bit of a legend. So here he is at Blenheim, and we can't quite believe it. He was here for the 89-year-olds last year and now he's doing the big class, and it's pretty incredible.
So he's SRS Can Do, isn't he?
SRS Can Do, yeah, but Georgie boy to us.
George, and he's ridden by Kylie Roddy.
Yeah.
So explain to me about how he's ended up being ridden by Kylie.
Well, we went over, so I went over to get him with my dad, with Richard Sheehan, his yard, and I was supposed to take him up to novice. That was kind of my big ambition with eventing. And then I just got more acting job, so I wasn't really, the producers don't really like you riding whilst you're acting just in case you fall off and hurt yourself.
That could scupper things a bit, couldn't it?
Yeah, so then gradually Kylie took over for a little bit, started to get on really well with him, started to became a great partnership, and then he started taking him out competing, and she was like, God, actually, he's got a really good horse here. And he's just kind of gone from strength to strength. And he's the idea that we're here after picking him up from Ireland about 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, the idea that we're competing here at Blenheim, and I'm talking to you in the owner's section, is pretty mad, really.
Yeah, it must be really exciting. And
it's incredible.
Do you see him going maybe a bit further on than Blenheim, maybe one day?
Yeah, we're gauging it like one event at a time. With us, with him, our ambition is very much like him going as far as he can, but keeping him sound and keeping him healthy and happy and still enjoying it. And if we feel like that's going to change, then he won't be stretched. We're not going to push him.
Yeah.
But the way that he's going, it feels like he takes it all in his stride, literally. And we'd love to see him at Babington. I mean, we'd love to get Kylie to Babington as well, because I think she's such a fantastic rider. But with eventing, it's so hard. You need that one horse to push you up the levels and for people to notice you. And I hope that George is that horse for her, because I think she has all the talent to be at the very top of the sport.
And explain to me how you kind of met her, how she became the person riding the horse.
She used to teach me, like, I think, a pony club, with all my random different horses that came in all shapes and sizes. And then I wanted to take a horse to her yard, so I went to her horse with a sort of problem horse that I had that I kept from falling off of. And then she said, actually, there's this horse in Ireland. So she's the big reason why we ended up getting him. And then, yeah, she just gradually took him over. So now it feels like it's been a good... I've known her for about 10 years, I think. And yeah, it's a small world, horses.
It is a very, very small world.
Yeah, you end up getting to know everyone, but she's been such a big... Not just with George, she's just kind of always helped us with different horses we've got. We loan a horse from her sister, and, you know, we kind of, it's all a big a horse family now around Stoke and Church area. So.
That's really nice. Yeah. And what do you enjoy most sort of about being an owner and following George?
Well,
and Kylie
I have to say, because if my mum and dad listen to this, they'll be going, well, they're the blooming owners. I'm the guy who gets to come and enjoy this bit. You know, as an actor, you don't get much sort of free funds to go, because it's not cheap owning an event. So they work very hard and they do all of the supporting, really. I'm just here for the glory bits. So my mum, Anne and Colin, they do the kind of off-season, doing everything you need to do, and I just come for when he's shiny and looking good at Blenheim Palace. You know, I'm just a champagne owner, really.
I'm going to be honest, that sounds pretty good to
me. yeah, take that way around.
Yeah,
it's definitely. Pretty awesome. Yeah.
And that leads us to our second interview today, which is again about a key member of our teams, which is the grooms. Now, you and I took the decision before the Europeans that we wanted to include grooms within the team announcements, and I know that went down really well with the general public, thank you for all your messages on social media, but it was always something very important to us that those grooms should be, they are a massive part of the team.
And a part of the team that quite often flies under the radar as well.
Yeah, often, yes, and so we wanted to make sure they were given due recognition. That's why they were named within those team announcements. And when you were doing social media at the Europeans, you would name the groom. It wouldn't just be a groom, you would name the groom. And in fact, we did do interviews with grooms when we were out there, didn't we?
We talked to Chloe Fry, who was Kitty King's groom.
So, very important part. And you caught up with another, a key group. Well, let's talk about the groom that you met up with at Blenheim.
So, she was quite rightly, I think, introduced to me as the legendary Jackie Potts. Because she is a legend in the groom's world. She has been working for Williams Fox Pitt for years and years and years and years and years, and she was there with him, but also with Kazuma Tomoto, who is a Japanese rider that she's been working with. He's based with William at the moment, and Jackie's been very key in working with him and helping him, you know, learn about eventing, because he's only been doing it for about 4 years. Not that you'd believe it ever watching him. He came second to Piggy in the 4-star long class with his fourth horse to now be qualified for the Tokyo Olympics. So he's on a bit of a roll at the moment.
He is, yeah. And as you say, so he has been... Is it a mentoring role that he has with... In other words, William Fox Pitt is his mentor, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I think you could probably say that, yeah.
Excellent. Right, let's hear your interview with Jackie.
So, Jackie, the legendary Jackie Potts, as you've been introduced to me as, you are here with William Fox Pitt and Kazuma Tomoto, I think?
Yeah, mostly with Kazuma, because William's now got Adam that gives him a hand at the events, and Kazu is based with us. He's been based with us for about nearly 3 years now, and so when he comes out to the same event as William, I come with him to help and supervise.
And does he need much supervision?
No, he's really good actually. But he was a show jumper before, so he's only evented for probably about the last 4 years. So, you know, he is still learning the ropes a little bit.
And so, talk me through a typical Blenheim. What's it like behind the scenes as a groom at something like this?
Well, it's a great event, and I mean, we're having a beautiful week. It's beautifully sunny. And unfortunately, the grounds are touch hard because of that, but I think they're trying to do their best spiking and watering. Blenheim has a great feel because you've got the palace there. You know, it's got a whole different atmosphere than some of the events that are in a field in the middle of nowhere. But there's still quite an intense atmosphere because it's very competitive. If you've won Blenheim, people remember. And it's also getting to the stage of everybody needs to qualify now for the Olympics. So whoever can get a clear round cross country in the long here, it's quite important for them. They're up for selection then for next year. We've actually come with Kazu with his horse that needs to qualify. So we're hoping that it all goes well. But we're, you know, pretty much the same as any 3 day. You've got the trot up, dressage, competitive again. Fortunately, our test went well today, so people are happy. And then cross-country tomorrow, show jumping on Sunday.
And talk to me about some of the sort of unique challenges that come with each of those phases. So, I mean, cross-country is the obvious one.
Yeah.
There's a lot of kind of icing and cooling the horses down and helping them recover from that, isn't there?
Yeah. And especially in this sort of weather, it's not too testing a track, but, you know, each horse copes with it differently. And I think the important thing is just to get them as cool as you can quickly enough and get the ice on the legs as well. What you can do straight away helps for the next day, because you're then asking them hopefully to have a clear round, and if you're up in the top, you know, 5 or 10, you're hoping to have a good place.
And of course get them through that final vet inspection as well.
Yeah, for the vet inspection and also for the future. Well, I think, you know, for the other two phases, for the dressage, you're always trying to keep the horse calm and relaxed and supple. And for a fit event horse, that's a really difficult thing, because their focus is the cross country, to be honest. You know, a lot of event horses take a deep breath and just cope with the dressage and get on with it.
It's the necessary evil,
yeah,
isn't it?
And they don't always enjoy it. And the show jumping, again, you're trying to keep them as relaxed, but a different type of technique of jumping. You've asked them to go a little bit longer and flatter with a cross country, more of a gallop, and now you're asking them to come back on their hocks and clear the fences.
Yes, very importantly. Yeah. That get over them, please. Yeah. And obviously a stay away show like this, you're taking the horses out of their home environment into sort of temporary stables. How do they cope with that?
Well, surprisingly well. I think when they're young and they first go away, obviously some do find it a bit stressful or very exciting. But hopefully by you've got to this level, then they're more used to being away. And I think it's quite handy now. You know, you've got young horse championships where you can get them away when they're 6 or 7. So they get used to staying away. And I think if you can keep a reasonable routine as you do at home, and also if they have the people that they know, you know, you're like their little safety dummy, to be honest, you know, or the security blanket. And keeping calm yourself, I think that's a really important thing with a groom, is not to be flappable. And if things don't quite go to plan, then you think, okay, plan B. But not putting that over to the horse and keeping your cool is as important as anything.
And have you got any kind of tips or tricks that you use to help the horses, obviously apart from staying in that routine, to help them keep calm, perform at their best when they're at a competition?
Yeah. Well, I think it's important to get to know them at home. I think that's when it's, you know, freelance grooms that do a good job are really good, because they don't always know the horse. And I like to get to know them from home, and then the fact that they trust you. I think it's really important to do everything the same way, even if you're here, you know, or suddenly you're tacking up and, you know, you're putting a saddle on first instead of a bridle, or, you know, silly little things that make them feel, oh, you know, it's okay, it's what we normally do, it's a different place, but it's still fine, she's okay. And then I love to get them out and about grazing, and not necessarily just around the compound. You know, I love to go off to a bit of a field somewhere and have a chill time.
Yeah, let them kind of have a break.
Yeah.
Five minutes.
Because it's very busy with the stables, people are in and out the whole time.
Yeah. So if we kind of talk a little bit about you, so how long have you been a groom?
A long time. this is my, because I'm still based at Williams and I do 3 days a week there, but this is my 26th year there.
Crikey. And
yes. My thoughts. No. And I, you know, I've been at other places before then, so I've probably been grooming for about 30 odd years.
And has a lot changed in that time in terms of the groom's role as part of that team, or has it largely stayed the same?
I think it's changed in various ways and not in others. I think nowadays the groom possibly plays a bit more of an important part because there's so many more competitions where you're staying away and you're travelling, and often the rider might fly in or, you know, come in a car or whatever, because they're a lot busier as well. So you now are a driver, you know, organiser when you arrive, grooms. Often when I'm away with Kazoo, I'm a mini vet and physio as well. So there's many different roles now, I feel.
And sort of the last thing I see is obviously you went out to Tokyo.
Yes,
with Kazoo, and obviously William went out as well with Adam. Yep. What was that like?
Well, I really enjoyed it because I love the heat and I love travelling. And and I think having done Hong Kong, it mentally put you in the mind of being there. You knew it was going to be hot and humid, so you just had to get on with it, to be honest. The horses coped amazingly, but then it was only half the time that they would be on the Olympics next year for the cross country. And also, as luck would have it, it was cooler. So in some ways, we didn't get a true test of how they would be on a really hot day. I mean, you hope it's going to be cooler next year anyway.
Fingers crossed.
Yes.
Well, I tell you what, I think we should get extra credits here, Rachel, because we did do this at Blenheim and now we've re-recorded it because the quality wasn't very good. So, and it's a Monday morning and I'm only halfway through my first coffee of the day, and as you know, I need a coffee to get going. So I think we've done very well to get through this podcast.
I mean, the fact you've made sense is pretty good.
Yeah, I'm amazed I've made any sense. Brilliant. Okay. So obviously during the Europeans we managed to do one of these podcasts every day. We're going to go back to once a week, and we're aiming for each Wednesday, is that right?
Yeah, we try and aim to get them out on a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So thanks for listening, thanks for downloading. I'm not going to get needy and ask for reviews, but, you know, it does help. So we will speak to you next Wednesday.